Welcome back to another edition of the Off the Crossbar podcast. As the Olympics rage on, everybody in Canada is going nuts with the impending Team Canada versus Team USA hockey clash that'll go on Thursday with the women's final. And then the men's play in the semifinal of a rematch of the 2010 gold medal game. So there's lots of hype around lacrosse. And no, there's not, because it's not in the Olympics yet. But maybe one day. And the guy joining us on the show now is leading a path to bring the Israelis to the world of lacrosse. He is Brad McArthur. He joins us on the Off the Crossbar podcast. Brad, how are you, man?
Doing well. Thank you.
You are a very busy man. We're going to talk about a lot of the hats that you're wearing. Most recently, we have found out that you were the brand new head coach of the Barrie Blizzards of the Canadian Lacrosse Association. You've been with that organization for a while, and they've got off to a bit of a slow start, but how's it feel to be a full-time pro head coach now?
Well, it was an interesting turn of events, but being able to fill the timetable with pro players and guys that want to be at the next level is pretty fulfilling.
You have been in this game for a long time. Is this a team that not only after an 0-3 start and a 3-11 season last year, is this a team that can turn things around?
Well, I think with any coaching change comes personnel changes. There's a pretty good core of athletes there that they're falling one quarter short, and for whatever reason, there's conditions beyond their control that they just can't get past. I think when we made those changes and we've been over the last couple of days, I think there's some roster tweaking that we can do. But I think the potential is there to make some noise and hopefully surprise some people down the stretch. We have 5 games left to do it.
What's going to be your coaching philosophy? Obviously, you've been coaching for quite a while now, but what can this Barrie Blizzard team expect? Is there going to be a lot of change now that you're taking over the head reins?
Well, Blazer and I are two different guys. I think I'm probably a lot more abrasive than him. Blaze is probably one of the nicest guys that you'll meet when it comes to the game of lacrosse. I've never really heard him get loud. I've never really heard him say a negative, comment or anything, unless it's towards the referee, but we've all done that. And I think I'm probably a little bit, I wouldn't say more intense, but my intensity shows differently than him. Mm-hmm. I've got some expectations for the players, and I think mine will probably be just communicated a little differently than his is. Style. I've tried to instill different philosophies different systems with the same philosophy. And I love speed because I was never a fast guy, so I always wanted to play with speed. But the physical pass, part of the game for us is going to be huge. And I think that's where I want the players, that are going to wear the Blizzard uniform to raise their level of play, is specifically in that aspect.
Is that a direct correlation of the way Clax is oriented and trying to speed up the game? Is that a mindset that you really want to dive into and make this team a very fast team out of the back end?
I think so. I mean, this league was born on getting players to the next level, and I still think to a degree, although it's taken a turn towards a business approach and looking to build kind of a minor system within that in wintertime, I think if you're not speedy, you're not successful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look at the teams that are doing well in the NHL right now, and Buffalo's transformed their game. And they're doing a much better job of taking advantage of offensive opportunities. And if you look at even the older fellas that they have there with Willie and JT, it's not like, they don't look slow. They're not getting any younger, but they don't look slow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're surrounding them with some really good, agile players. And I think if we're going to be successful in Barrie, then we need to speed up our game, and that's not only on offense, but on defense as well.
Is Jonas Dirks speeding up your team's game?
You know what, remarkably?
Yes.
He does a good job of slowing down. I watched a couple games on video, but I did attend their home opener, and Jonas does a good job of slowing the game down on offense, and he does it with, I guess the right word would be he controls it. He does a really good job. He's the older guy out there by a large margin, and I'd like to emphasize large on that. He's got years on most of our offense, but he's settled, and he brings that ball with him. Remarkably, he's actually got a really, really good first step.
Yeah.
I think
well, he's always had that.
Pardon me?
He's always had that.
He does, but, I mean, at 39 years old, you don't really expect him to have it.
True.
And you could tell a couple games he was going up and back and realized he was not going to survive for the whole game if he was going to do that. And he just started playing real smart, real intelligent, making some decisions to get off the floor maybe a bit earlier than he, you know, normally would.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's taken control on offense, and he's become a real threat when the ball's in his stick.
One of the things I've always wondered and wanted is for the NLL and Klax to work more hand-in-hand. And we've seen some guys make the jump from a Klax team to the NLL when a team is in danger, but can this league grow itself to actually be a farm system for the NLL? Is that, are people even still thinking that as a possibility?
Hard for me to say. I would hope so. Yeah. As a lacrosse player and now a coach and someone who's been involved for a while, I would really hope so, because there's a lot of players, a lot of good young players that they may play in the NLL one day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, staying in shape through the winter time and playing a bit more lacrosse and having that stick in their hands, it's going to make the league, both leagues, better.
Yeah, I agree.
We face some challenges geographically. We've got for example, the Stealth wouldn't have a farm team,
yeah,
whereas a lot of the Eastern teams would have advantages to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why you have obstacles, so you can overcome them.
Exactly.
And, you know, maybe there's an opportunity somewhere out there to build a CLAX West,
mm-hmm,
or something along those lines. But I really hope so, because when I look through the roster of players and, pending changes for what we might have, I see players here that have had a cup of tea in the NLL, and they're pretty good players, and they're not playing for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I would really hope that the NLL takes a serious look at what we're doing. I mean, the coaches that are in this league, Jeff Dowling and they all have NLL experience,
yeah,
in one way or another. I think I'm now the only coach that hasn't coached in the NLL.
Your time will come.
Well, potentially, but I mean, I think it speaks volumes
for
the CLAX league.
Yeah, and it's not only a breeding ground for players eventually, though, but it is going to be a breeding ground for coaches slowly, because if the league wants to expand, they're going to need coaches who have tangible coaching experience, and coaching in the CLAX league is one of those avenues. But a guy like Scotty Comer, how does he not get a shot? Is it an idea of there's too many goalies out there, or teams just aren't willing to give him an opportunity?
I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth.
No.
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, when you look around the league, I mean, Scotty's pretty, he's got experience, and he's played at high levels. I do believe Buffalo did give him a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it depends. I mean, he can come down here and play, or he can be up there and be a backup to Cause right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not spoken to Scott, so I don't know where the mindset is on, mm-hmm, that one. But, I mean, it's tough. If you've got a guy like Angus Dinley that couldn't buy a vowel, and then,
yeah,
all of a sudden Philly's got Kirk and Miller in net.
Yeah.
How do you take those two out?
Yeah, I know.
It's
crazy.
It's quite strong. I mean, there's some good goalies, and there's only so many teams that go around.
One last question on the Klax issue, and just lacrosse everywhere. Do you think it's tough for players, especially young players, say a kid graduates junior, and he's,
yeah,
been used to playing one set of rules, and then he goes and tries out for a WLA team. Now he's playing a different set of rules. And now he goes and tries out for an NLL team, and he has to learn a different set of rules. And then he gets cut by an NLL team, and he goes and plays in the CLAX, and he has to learn another set of rules. Why can't this sport of ours that we love and cherish and want to see make it to high levels of success have one set of rules across the board that makes it easy for everybody?
Because we can't get everybody in the same room and,
bingo,
have everybody agree on it.
Bingo! Why can't everyone see that?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I can see having progressions of the rules from,
mm-hmm,
minor to junior and junior to senior and senior to pro.
Right.
Progressions or variations of.
Yes.
But you're right. I mean, it's tough. It's even tougher, like, you're coaching and you're trying to remember How many timeouts do I have?
Can my team go over and back? Is there a 30-second shot clock when I'm short?
Yeah, and now, you know, now which door can he go out of?
Yeah, exactly. The clacks rule. Which door can my guy go out of?
Yeah, like it used to be, hey, I need you to go, and the player was sitting on the bench in between your feet having a drink, and he'd just hop up and go over the boards, which, you know, now it's, well, hop up and run down to the other end and go out the door and run the other way. So, I mean, but they're all, the funny thing is they're all trying to accomplish the same thing, and that was speed up the game, minimize the slowness of the offense defense, and put some transition back in. So everybody kind of came up with their own reasons for it. And it's tough. I mean, summertime, I coached in the minor nationals with the Team Ontario Midgets. And there's no offense defense. I believe it's a warning and a penalty, and then the coach is gone.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, that leaves it to referee's discretion.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we didn't even tempt it. There's just no way that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had to pick the best athletes, and we had grabbed some goal scorers that might not have been the best defensive players.
Yeah.
But we grabbed some defensive players that weren't the best goal scorers and tried to make it work.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing with the Iroquois Nationals team. And it was one of the best games I think I've seen in terms of lacrosse, minor, junior, NLL. I mean, biased because we were playing in it, but it was fast. It was up-tempo. But there was times where we could control the pace a bit and not tire out the players. So there was some strategy in there too. But like I said, it was all in an attempt, and everybody's making the attempt to speed the game up and take the offense defense out. And we just didn't even tempt the referees with, you know, kicking a guy out. I think I don't mind that rule, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and having coaching Pee Wee, the first thing my brother said to me, he said, by the way, you have to run five guys up and down. You can't play OD. I'm like, okay, good. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we ran a variation of it. We ran a system.
Yeah.
We had our rights and our lefts a bit separated, but it was they ran and they played both ends. And, you know, I enjoyed teaching the kids both ends of the floor and how to get from one end to the other. It wasn't, you know, step over half, dish it off, and go.
Yeah. Speaking with Brad MacArthur, head coach, new head coach of the Barrie Blizzards of the CLAC League. You can find him on Twitter at Brad MacArthur. That's MacArthur. You had a cup of coffee or two in the National Lacrosse League, but I want to focus on your time with the Montreal Express, a team that was 1 year in, 1 year out, had some success, was in a pretty good market in Montreal. You guys had some decent crowds, but for some reason it just didn't work out. Can it get back there after having an international preseason game friendly there earlier this year?
I really hope so. I absolutely love playing in Montreal. Yeah, I don't think there's a play on our team that didn't. The international, actually, the event itself was good. I mean, there's teams from Ganawaki and Akwesasne there playing during the day as well. We had our under-17 friendly with the Nationals leading up to the pros. And the atmosphere surrounding the rink and the people in the restaurant that were fans, it was like, you know, it was when we were in Montreal for the 02-03 season. It was awesome. The Bell Center is a very fun place to play.
Yeah.
Even trying to jam the lower bowl, I guess you'd say, would be a great atmosphere. So
yeah.
I don't know what it is in there. It's probably one of the few arenas where you can play the lower bowl half empty, and there's still one hell of an atmosphere.
Yeah, it was loud.
It was, and I mean, I was trying to take some pictures of the crowd and get an estimate of it. And
yeah.
I might have been off, I don't know, but I was pretty close, and people said, no, there's no way. And I said, the lower bowl is huge.
Yeah.
You know, even half full.
Yeah, It's one of the bigger lower bowls in the NHL.
Yeah.
It puts a good amount of people in there, and it rocks. When you said there's, even if it's 6,000-7,000 people, it may not look full, but it is loud, and those fans love their lacrosse then.
They do, and the marketing that has to go into it, I mean, let's face it, Montreal is a different market than anything we're used to here. And you've got an opportunity there to grow a game, spread a game. You've got residents that live just on the other side of the bridge in Ganawaki that know the history of the game, that play the game. And you've got a population base there of people that, I mean, you got a whole new generation of people that you can sell that game to. And Quebec keeps growing their base. We've seen more and more kids starting coming out of Quebec that are in prep schools that are coming to Ontario to try out for junior teams or playing for Akwesasne and Ganawaki in the OLA right now.
Yeah.
So It's going to take time, just like the Alberta experiment, for it to come to fruition. So we've got to be patient. But I think, just like a pro team in Toronto did to viewership and to minor lacrosse growth here, I think it could do it there.
32-10 was the final of the Montreal-Calgary game?
32-17.
One of the most lopsided games in NLL history, the most goals combined, the most goals for one team. Obviously, it's a pretty memorable game just for what it was, but what do you remember most about that absolute beating you guys laid on the Roughnecks?
Taking the first penalty and have Kilbride score on it maybe 22 seconds into the game.
Of course you would remember that.
Yeah. I remember getting to Calgary with the team, and we had a fairly young, scrappy team. Terry Sanderson put together, or actually both him and Lindsay put together a roster of guys from different teams. But I remember actually the first thing, getting in there, and it was so cold in Calgary. I remember actually taking the heads off my sticks and carrying them around with me because I was afraid they were going to snap.
Yeah, I know.
And it was one. I'd been to Calgary before, never in the winter. And I mean, it was November, and I could not believe it. But the thing that sticks most about the game was probably going into the after party right in the Saddle Dome.
Yeah.
And hearing all the fans talk about the game, what it was like for them. Because the only time I'd really had seen Alberta in terms of lacrosse was going to the Nationals or going to a Founders or things along those lines. And it really impressed me of how thankful they were. And, you know, I'm kind of looking at it thinking, we just smacked your team around so bad. It wasn't even funny, and you're sitting here telling us how much fun it was.
Yeah.
And, it probably didn't hit me until a year later when I was actually part of Calgary, and those same fans were still there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd approach it underneath there, and they'd, I remember you from the first game last year, and I'm thinking to myself, you stuck around? Like, that was a real treacherous season.
Yeah.
And I thought Calgary did a great job of selling it, so... that's probably what, like I said, it didn't hit me until likely a long after.
Mm-hmm.
But the atmosphere that they had there in Calgary and those fans to come back, they've got some long-term fans, which is what you need.
You spoke of the Founders Cup, the Junior B National Championship. You won it as a coach with the Clarington Green Gales back in 2002, and now you're back with them. You've been still with that organization for a while, but again, another head coaching gig. This is two of three head coaching gigs that you have now.
Yeah.
Again, this is an idea of now you're having to go between leagues and mentalities of coaching, but what's the biggest challenge of coaching Junior B lacrosse?
In our area, it's getting the players buy-in. There's so much for them to do, and there's so much opportunity out there. So many of the kids in our area are focused on scholarships, are focused on moving to the next level. And it's keeping them focused that playing for our Junior B team is not a demotion. It's not a crack on their talent level or anything like that.
Yeah.
So trying to keep them their mindset and focused on improvement is probably one of the bigger areas, because the way the season's structured, the kids who go to prep school or the kids who actually go to school and they come back in their first year, that we don't get them back until mid-May anymore.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's late May. Well, we play almost half our season in May.
Yeah.
So by the time those players come back, it's tough to get team cohesiveness. It's, it's tough for them to get any chemistry with each other. We rely really upon the minor systems to help us out and to have great coaching so that when those kids come back, they can just kind of get back in real quick. Maybe it takes a game or two or practice or just a few days to get back in the system. So we really rely on those minor coaches to do that and instill that, so when they come back for us that it's really not a big deal for them.
And the Gales are a Junior B team that's actually well known, not just in Canada or even in Ontario, but especially in Czech and Prague, because those guys often go to the Alex Hrabeski tournament. What's it like sort of being a bit of a national ambassador, not only for Junior B and Ontario lacrosse, but Canada lacrosse, when your guys go over there? Is that a really cool experience for those kids?
Yeah. I mean, it's an alumni team or team guys that are connected with the Gales in one way or another that we bring over. And I believe the team's been over five times.
Yeah.
pretty sure it's five. It'll be six this year. We're going back. And it is. It really stems from our junior A days. I mean, none of us were really around when that was on. I was only 7 years old, I think, when they folded. But the history and the guys that are alumni from our junior A, I mean, they mean a lot to us. And when you see those guys in the rink, some of them are, you know, they're in their 50s and 60s, and they're classy individuals, and they're business guys, and they're, you know, town counselors, they're lawyers, they're accountants, they're teachers, they're cops, and they're still coming to games, and their kids are playing, and their grandparents are playing, and you could be standing beside someone and sitting in the rink and not going to say a word, and then you come to find out that he's won, you know, five Minto Cups.
Yeah.
Or he's one of our major donors, or mm-hmm. he's a fundraiser for us. So to kind of hold that up, I mean, we hold that, the Gael's name, the Gael's history, the tradition behind it, in pretty high standards. And mm-hmm. I'd like to say there's probably nothing like it. There's very few players that get to play all 5 years in a Junior B organization now. We do move our players up to the Warriors, and the Warriors are doing a great job developing and winning their championships too.
Mm-hmm.
And it stems from that, and we have players that won't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And they demand that they're going to be playing in their hometown, and they're going to stay and be a Gael. And, you know, we heard a guy say that Christmas time that he bleeds green.
Yeah.
And that's something you hear quite a bit. I mean, like, we went over to Czech last year, and we had a great roster with us, and I looked around, and everybody on the roster had some sort of connection to the Green Gaels.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, our timekeepers were over there. Like, how do you? We have volunteers that are traveling to the Czech Republic.
Yeah,
they're, you know, it was our timekeeper.
Unreal. There's something about green, white, and a shamrock on your jersey that just brings everybody together, isn't there?
Well, I don't even want to get into that. But yes, every time I see that, I'm reminded of Victoria losses. But yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you guys have some gold in there. You had some gold in there at 1 year, so yeah. we didn't have that yet.
A few more minutes here with Brad MacArthur, the head coach of the Barrie Blizzards, the head coach of the Clarington Green Gaels, and the head coach of the Israeli national team for the 2015 indoor games. Who knew that they played lacrosse in Israel and actually had a national team?
Probably not too many outside of Israel.
This has really been spearheaded by Scott Neese, who worked with the National Lacrosse League for years within the game with some of the suits in the offices with Doug Fritz and George Daniel and behind-the-scenes stuff. And he's really spearheaded this to bring Israel lacrosse to the forefront. And you're now coming to the 2015 World Games in Buffalo. But you guys are doing a lot of things actually in Israel to grow the game.
Yeah. I mean, there's a league set up in Israel now. There's players that are headed over there that are dual citizens, Israeli and American or Israeli Canadian, wherever they might be.
Mm-hmm.
They're going over to Israel. They're spending time there, putting time in doing community service, teaching the game of lacrosse, doing what's called a birthright trip, and exploring their heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going over there, and it's not like they're sitting around. They're not taking it easy and enjoying the sights and you know, the Dead Sea and things like that. They're doing some hard work, and they're getting out to the youth, and they're creating these leagues. And they've got not only men, but they've got women over there too. And Scott and his crew of guys over there. I mean, there's a couple of mainstays,
mm-hmm.
And then there's some big boosters from the U.S. that are really helping it along, and they're doing an excellent job of growing the game.
You were telling me before we kind of had this conversation about just random people. You have lacrosse people that you know that have an Israeli or Jewish background that are getting involved, but random people just coming up to you and either want to get involved or help sponsor just goes to show the power of the lacrosse family.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes very interesting. And so we get some emails every now and then. We'll get a player that has that he is Jewish or has a Jewish background, or he hasn't explored Judaism, but his family's Jewish, and
mm-hmm.
he's looking for different opportunities. And he might not be a national team member at the end of the day, but for them to still reach out and contact us and be able to put him in touch with Scott and help grow the game, you know, it's kind of a things, you know, it's just great for Scott. It's great for Israeli lacrosse. It's great for lacrosse across the world to be growing this game. There's one more person involved that might not have been involved. And we've got Howard Borkin working it from the United States side, who is a longtime U.S. lacrosse supporter. He's helping Israeli lacrosse as well. So anytime, I guess that you go back to our Gales conversation, we were talking about worldwide growth and exposure to it.
Yeah.
Well, now we've got a Middle East exposure to the game of lacrosse.
Yeah.
And we've got guys that are working hard, and we've got people that are coming up from North America, and they just want to be involved at some point. And I think that does more to help grow our game, because here in Canada or here in the United States, it's going to help us along. There's one more person that might not have been involved for whatever reason that all of a sudden now has an interest in the sport of lacrosse.
It's so cool to see where this game is going. You look at the lineup for teams that are going to the 2014 World Games in Denver. You look at the lineup of teams that are already entered into 2015 in Buffalo for the indoor games. Nations that one would never have imagined would be playing this game now are, and the game of lacrosse is in the Sport Accord, which hopefully, as we kind of alluded to at the start of this whole talk, that lacrosse will one day be in the Olympics, whether it's indoor or outdoor. Just has to show how far this game's come, even though at one point the game was in the Olympics.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's everybody's working towards a common goal. We talked about taking offense, defense out, and look at the bigger picture of trying to get into the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
The media frenzy right now with the United States and Canada, I can only imagine what would happen for this sport if all of a sudden we were on primetime network television because we were playing the United States.
Yeah.
Nobody might not know much about the sport, but all of a sudden we've got it on NBC, and we've got it on Sportsnet, TSN, CBC streaming because two teams are about to go at it from North America.
Yeah.
I guarantee you if that happens, it'd be just like TJ Oshie's freaking Twitter followers. You know, it's going to double overnight.
Yeah. You could score that goal and boost up your Twitter followers. It'd be good.
Yeah, no doubt.
One last thing. I don't know much about name, lineage, and history, but MacArthur doesn't sound very Israeli.
It's not.
So it's not. How did you get involved?
Well, funny ask. Czech Republic.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
Yeah. Went over with the Green Gales. I came out of retirement, but I didn't. I just ran up and down the floor a few times.
Reg Dunlop style.
Yeah, pretty much. Tried to fit my helmet on my head and it didn't work, but Gold Star came, which was comprised of guys that were in Israel playing lacrosse, and they didn't have quite enough players, so they merged with some of the Czech players that didn't have their team entered in it, and some players from France.
Mm-hmm.
Scott came over, but he didn't have a coach and didn't really have a lot of infrastructure. He was trying to fill a team kind of at the last minute, so he asked me if I'd help him out. So myself and Doug Louis from the Gales and Murr, our equipment manager, just kind of threw everything we had into our team, and then whatever we could, we threw it into Gold Star as well and helped them out. So jumped on the bench. We helped the players out and threw them some things and ran a practice for them, just taught them some things. And Scott and I got to talking, and we've known each other for quite a long time. So we went out socially one night and had some dinner, and we were chatting about it, and I had actually just made an off-the-cuff remark that, you know, it'd be really great to see Israel in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of snickered and said, well, funny you should mention that, because we intend on being there. So I said, well, I want to know more about it. And we didn't really have time.
Yeah.
So we came back the next day, and we had breakfast, just actually I think the day before I left, and we were sitting down to it, and he said, here's my plan, and I'll be right to the point, and what do you think about coaching this team if we can put this together? And I just kind of looked at him, and I kind of said the same thing. Like, my last name's MacArthur. I'm not Jewish. Like, what's going to happen? And he said, it doesn't matter. That's not, you know, we're talking about growing the game. We're talking about coaching. You need to speak with some of my donors and some of the fundraisers and make sure you're in it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke to some of the principals, and it went from there. I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. There's a big denomination of Jewish citizens, both in Canada and the United States, and identifying the players has become the problem, because you don't know who might be Jewish and who's not.
Right.
But it's become such a challenge, it's almost enjoyable. But the more the word's gotten out there, I don't have to reach out to these kids much more. They're coming to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, they might not be national team members, but they might fit in the chain somewhere.
Crazy. It's so cool. I'm just looking at the roster for the World Field Team. And 40 guys, got to be at least half of them are actually from Israel, going to school over there, playing club ball over there. It's just unbelievable that most of us had no idea this was going on. And all of a sudden, an army of Jewish lacrosse players is coming to invade Denver later this year and then Buffalo in 2015.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah, no, it's great. And the guys are really excited. You know, if you, when you get to Denver and you see these guys, I mean, they're very proud.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're going to be the first ones. And they're going to set, you know, a standard, I guess, for Israeli lacrosse on day one. And we're going to be better than teams give us credit for. And they work hard, and, you know, they're young and very impressionable. So I think, you know, playing against the United States, playing against Canada.
You're right there, bud.
Sorry about that.
Getting all choked up.
I'm playing against the Czechs and the English. It's going to be real good for them.
Yeah. It's going to be good for everybody who's in this tournament in a few months in Vail, Colorado, or sorry, in Denver, Colorado for the World Games. It's going to be a lot of fun, and this has always been a lot of fun chatting with you, Brad. I appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. Congratulations on the new gig with the Blizzards, again, coaching the Clareton Green Gales, and with Israeli lacrosse. I know you're going to be molding a lot of future use of this game of lacrosse, so keep up the good work. Thanks for taking some time.
Oh, no, I appreciate it.
There he is, Brad MacArthur, head coach. As let's do this again. The Barrie Blizzards, the Clareton Green Gales, and the Israeli national box team. Great resume for a guy who played about six or seven seasons in the NLL between Toronto and Montreal, Calgary, Rochester. Face-off guy, D guy. Could put the ball in the net. Mind mixing it up now and again. Guy who's got a great outlook on the game of lacrosse, and you heard him. One of the biggest issues in Canadian lacrosse is we can't get everybody on the same page. And if we want this game to continue growing north of the 49th, that has to be probably one of our biggest issues and focuses, is to get a natural progression from minor through senior, everybody on the same page, playing the same style of lacrosse, so it's easier for everybody to learn the game, follow the game, and more importantly, play the game. Shout out to Brad MacArthur. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Brad MacArthur. You can follow me on Twitter at Off the Crossbar. I'm on there quite often, tweeting about this and that and everything else. But again, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for listening, whether it's on isleindoor.com, Inside Lacrosse. Maybe you're even listening on iTunes somewhere around the world. Hey, maybe you're in Tel Aviv. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Off the Crossbar podcast. Don't forget, Off the Crossbar Radio airs Saturday mornings on Team 1410 in Vancouver, or you can hear it live streamed on teamradio.ca. This weekend goes 11 a.m. Pacific time for 1 hour as we talk all things lacrosse and another big weekend of National Lacrosse League games. And it all starts on Friday when Minnesota takes on Toronto. Rochester is in Calgary. And then on Sunday, Mini takes on Philadelphia. 4 p.m. afternoon start for that one. My name's Teddy Jenner. This has been another edition of the Off the Crossbar podcast. We'll talk to you in a week's time. Enjoy the games. And remember, be excellent to each other.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the end.